Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is...
Matthew the Falcon, Sharon might be the power broker, us.
Alright. I always love it when your middle name has some kind of speculation in it.
Oh, I know. It's cool. Well, they always speculated about me, so... Kind of makes sense. Like, is Matt really human? You know, whatever. So, kind of makes sense.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that you're either an alien or a robot.
It's either one of those, or a wizard. Mm-hmm. You know, aliens, robots, or wizards, so...
Yes. Or maybe you're all three.
That's possible. Aliens have robots? I mean, I guess they could.
You're an alien robot wizard.
Yeah, you know, I'm an alien, but I'm also built by... So I'm a robot built by aliens, therefore it makes me an alien. And because my creators are aliens. And then they taught me to, you know, sorcery. So technically, I'm all three. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, today on the show, we are covering... the fifth episode of the Disney Plus television series The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
Ooh. Episode 5 was entitled Truth. And it was directed by Kerry Scoglin and written by Dallin Musson. First reactions, Matt, what did you think of this episode?
I guess thoroughly impressed, really. The length of the episode, for one thing, they really give us, you know, our money's worth with the show, you know, and I liked how the pacing was really nice. You know, even though it was the longest episode so far, it didn't really feel like it was really that long, you know? And so this one really, really wasn't as full of action as the other one was, but, I just kind of liked how it flowed, you know? It was just really enjoyable to watch. It wasn't as suspenseful as the last one was, but, But yeah, that was my initial reaction. It was a lot of different landscapes, I guess. It wasn't all taking place in one place, you know. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I really liked it. I mean, I think it was really the John Walker of it all was kind of cool. Yeah, I think it was really good. Like you said, it wasn't as intense, there wasn't as much action, but it didn't need to have action. I mean, you don't need action in every one of these things. Even though some fanboys are like, oh, there's no action, I can't like it. you know, it's too woke.
Oh, God. John Walker's the real Captain America, man. Yeah, okay.
They're talking too much. I don't like it when people talk, I just want them to fight. Yeah. Anyways, you get woke, you go broke.
I'm so funny. That was really clever.
Yep, I came up with that on my own. So, anyways, I liked it a lot. I think I like the Isaiah Bradley scenes. I liked all of, I mean, it was really cool. Seeing Bucky and Sam kind of becoming, you know, better friends was cool too, you know. Yeah. The cameo in the episode was kind of cool. Unexpected, but, you know, it was cool. not as, like, big of a cameo as everybody was expecting or anything, but it's still a very important character.
Yeah.
And a very great actress. I mean, 11 times Emmy Award-winning actress.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll get into that when we get to it. So, anyways, I asked some of our fans what they thought of it. And Chris Tiefel said, "I will let you know when I watch it, and if I see any spoilers in this thread, I will track you down and give you such a noogie."
Yeah, we don't do spoilers, so...
Yeah.
Ever since, what was it? Endgame, when someone told you that someone died in the movie.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that was bullshit. So we don't do that here.
And William Toth wrote, "I can't wait for the final episode. Everything with John Walker was great, along with the scene Falcon had with somebody." He was purposely not spoiling anything. Like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. So, what happened in this episode, Matt?
Quite a bit. But like I said, you know, it was paced out really good. So it starts off with John Walker is running away from the crime scene, like, immediately after he killed that guy, and he's running off to some kind of, like, you know, empty warehouse building or something like that. And he's kind of, like, experiencing, like immediate PTSD, essentially. Like, he's hearing Lamar's voice, like, having sort of audio hallucinations. He's, like, he kind of breaks down and cries. He's, like, trying to take in the whole gravity of the situation. And for, like, a split second, it does seem like he's kind of, you know, realizing what he did and that, you know, he did something wrong, but then he does that weird head cock thing that he does, just how Zemo does, and he, like, turns, it's almost like, I figured it out, like, when he does that, it's almost like he's, like, turning off, like, a part of his mind, and it's just sort of like what they call that compartmentalizing or something like that, and
compartmentalization.
Like, "All right, time to go back to work."
Yeah.
Yeah. "All right, time to go to work." And then he just gets up and immediately he's like into like complete the mission mode. He's like, "Oh, you guys should go see a medic. You know, you don't look so good." And, you know, he's talking to them like they're a team still. Like they got to finish the mission. And it's like, they're like, "No, dude, like, we're not here for that. It's like, you need to give up the shield now." And then he gets all pissed off about that. Because, again, it was kind of like, he kind of had the same attitude towards Sam just as Carly did, where, you know, like, they feel like Sam's trying to sort of disarm them by talking to them, and then they feel like they've been tricked by him, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
not what Sam's doing, though. He's not trying to trick anyone. He's just trying to talk to them so they can sort of put their, I guess in a sense, put their guard down, but they interpret that as trickery, whereas for him, he's actually just trying to get through to them so they can talk as, like, a person, not as, like, a soldier who's on the mission or whatever, you know? I mean, that's how I took it. And then they got into this huge fight, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very similar to, like, fights within that were in Civil War and, you know, and in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was, yeah, like, similar to the fights with, like, Cap and Bucky and Iron Man.
Yeah, with the shield stuff.
Yeah.
Like, passing up. Yeah. It was very interesting. Like I was saying, I was just watching Civil War just before I got on the phone here, and I was realizing too that like this sort of like buddy cop thing between Sam and Bucky actually kind of goes back to Civil War even, because like they always end up like finding themselves together all the time, like falling down, like Spider-Man like tied him up with a bunch of his web, and Sam's like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know? So that's, you know, that's kind of interesting. But so what happens in the fight? Because I kind of don't remember all the details, but I know it was pretty intense and cool.
I mean, basically, at one point, John Walker basically destroys the Falcon wings, which is important. They eventually, you know, take him down. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, people obviously saw this when, if they're listening to this. So, but, I mean, it's hard to go beat by beat, you know, try to remember it all. But basically in the end, they basically subdue, Walker, you know, knock him out, and then we they broke his arm at the end somehow, even though he's like a, you know, super soldier. And then they take the shield. After that, we move on to a scene, basically, we have a scene with Torres, and, actually, was that before or after that? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, so no.
Well, Torres was right after the fight with John Walker.
Yeah, basically, he asks, you know, what's up with the wings, you know, being broken and stuff, and Sam leaves the wings with him, basically says keep them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is which is interesting, because in the comics Torres becomes Falcon. So
right. I don't know. I'm still wondering though if in the show if Torres is secretly a Flag Smasher, because every time he talks about them, it's like he almost has like this sort of like admiration for them, like I don't know how to describe it. Like,
yeah, well, I know what you mean.
She's really, really good at like being underground. Like it's like he's talking like almost like he's a follower of hers. You know what I mean? Or he's trying to talk like to be objective, but like,
I mean, it could just be that he admires her.
Sure. Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily admire her actions as much as her goal,
her philosophy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, who knows though, you know, we'll have to wait until next week to see where this goes. If it does right. Anything, if it goes anywhere, then we have a scene where, Bucky finds Zemo in Sokovia in front of a memorial to the Sokovian, you know, the people that died during Civil War. And, or not that Civil War, in Age of Ultron. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from Age of Ultron, yeah.
Yeah, he's, and I really like how the statue is like a statue of a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's, because that kind of represents what we've lost, you know, and what people in Sokovia have lost. I mean, like, kind of is representative of like Wanda's family or Zemo's family and himself, you know, that he lost, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. They have this like really cool scene where you think that Bucky's gonna shoot him. He pulls a trigger on a gun at his head, but there's no bullets in the gun. So, And then he hands them over to the Dora Milaje. At one point towards the end, he says to the Dora Milaje as they're leaving, he says to Io, he's like, there's one other favor I need from you. And I think we're going to find out next week what that is. I'm pretty sure we kind of can guess, but, we'll talk about that in speculation. Basically, Zemo's then, you know, basically sent over to them, and they said that they're going to send him to the Raft, which is a prison in the comics that we have yet to see in the movies. Then we have a scene after that, which I think is one of the coolest scenes in the whole show, where John Walker is being dishonorably discharged and stripped of his role as Captain America for killing that guy. It's just, I think Wyatt Russell's performance in that scene is amazing. He goes off and he's got this, like, you know, he's just pissed, and he's got this whole thing where it's like, you created me, basically, you know? Like, which I think it's true. I mean, they basically... He's not wrong, you know?
No, he says that he's lived his whole life by their mandates. He's, you know, they trained him to be a certain way, to do a certain thing, and he did it, and now they're just, you know, just gonna strip him away of everything just because, you know, he, quote, went too far or whatever, and then, which he did, but it's just like, at the same time, it's like, like, would you... I mean, I don't know if it's like this anymore, but, like, I know from people who actually have been in the military, and, like, they've openly stated, like, when they talk to me about it, that, like, when they first, like, train you, like, they literally will try to, like, take any sort of, like, sense of individual out of you. Like, you're not a person anymore. You're a soldier. And, like, this person would have no reason to tell me this, like, to make a point, like, there ain't no reason to lie about this, you know, so, and, like, they would do all kinds of, like, hazing methods to, like, sort of, basically harden you so that, like, you can, you know, you can work under pressure, so, like, they'll, you know, they'll try to, like, get under your skin to, like, sort of, like, humiliate you some ways so that you, you know, you don't lose focus, so it's like, yeah, in a lot of ways, you know, those quote mandates, what made him a really good soldier, and to be able to, you know, not buckle under pressure, because it's kind of like you can't handle your sergeant, you know, hazing you during training. You know, you're not going to be able to handle an enemy firing upon you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I've seen it several times. I mean, there's been people I've known who came out of the military completely different people than when they went in.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, you know, how they basically, it's like they create a blank slate and they almost become like an android as opposed to a thing. I mean, as a human, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And
then you build up your personhood after that fact, kind of.
Yeah.
Then you're still a changed person though, a lot of times.
You basically start out as a blank slate and you almost become a new guy, you know?
Right.
It's an interesting, you know, it's like, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, it's like, what do you blame? I mean, for his actions, do you blame him, or do you blame the people that trained him? It's kind of like how with, like, do you blame Frankenstein, or do you blame the Frankenstein's monster that he created?
Right.
You know, it's like,
well, you blame both, mm-hmm. both, but at the same time, it's that, you know, our military, the mm-hmm. at least on book, on paper, the laws are clear that you're not supposed to kill someone who's surrendered. You know what I mean? Especially someone who's unarmed.
Yeah.
So I guess you could have an argument of like, oh, well, they said they surrendered, but they had a gun behind their back or whatever. But like, if someone's unarmed and they're surrendering, there's no reason to kill that person. Like, you know what I mean?
And, yeah, I mean, it also applies to, our, like, things like with, like, cops as well, you know? Like, we've got many situations in recent memory, sadly, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know, like, George Floyd's death and other things where people are murdered by cops for no reason, really, you know? When they should have just been taken into custody for, you know, regardless of what crime they may or may not have committed, you know? It's like, you can't, you know, somebody trying to pass off a $20 bill, or even if somebody murdered somebody, you don't have the right to murder them, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's not, you know, people try to justify the actions of somebody that's in the military or that's a police officer based on the actions of the person that they murdered. But that still doesn't mean that you were right in killing another human being.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, we've moved far beyond, you know, at least in theory, far beyond the old laws of, you know, eye for an eye. Oh, mm-hmm. You cut someone's eye out, we're going to cut your eye out. You cut someone's hand off, we're going to cut your hand off. Like, no, there's more civilized way of doing that stuff now. I mean, so it's like, if you catch a serial killer, does that mean then you got to go and kill all the friends and family of that person to, you know, tally up the number of people that they killed? Like, oh, he's killed 50 people, so now we got to go kill 50 people this guy knows, you know what I mean?
And, and even in that situation, like, it doesn't mean it's, you know, within your right, you know, that there's a justice system, whether it be a military justice system or, you know, the civilian justice system, that'll take care of, like, you know, you capture Ted Bundy, but you don't have the right to kill him right when you capture him, you know?
Right. It's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people, though, that they like this because their emotions run high, and that's what they think, you know, they want to make those decisions when they're in the heat of their emotions rather than their rational mind, and that's dangerous when you put violence in the mix, because violence is inherently done in the heat of the moment when it's emotional. That's why, like, nowadays, like, when they execute people, it's usually, you know, very, like, orchestrated, like, organized, you know, and stuff like that. It's not like, in the heat of the moment, I'm going to take a shield and bash this guy's head in, you know, or something like that. And even then, I mean, I'm not saying necessarily it's a good thing, but, like, it's like violence inherently is something that, like, happens when, you know, you got that adrenaline flowing, you got, like, you know, like, in the show, they kind of have, like, that pounding sound or whatever. Well, that's kind of, like, you ever notice, like, when you've been severely angry before, it almost feels like you can't hear as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because your blood's literally pumping into, like, your ears and shit, and you lip, so it's like,
you hear your heartbeat harder, you know?
Yeah, that's harder, and then you just become, like, so focused on, like, a singular point. Everything else kind of, your surroundings doesn't really exist anymore, really, for the most part. So I can actually believe that when he did that, he may have not even noticed that there was other people around watching them, like, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but, he's basically telling them off, like, you know, you trained me to be this way, you know, I did what you told me to do, and now, you know, and the thing is, too, he wasn't even trying to get his sentence turned around, he just wanted to speak his mind. That's what started the whole argument.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, you know, I'm not trying to appeal the decision. You know?
Well, he does still think he is Captain America, though, you know?
Yeah, in his mind, he is.
Yeah, and, I mean, and it is kind of, here's the thing that, you know, it's like, he's lying to himself, too, throughout it, you know, to convince himself that he's in the right. Even though, I mean, the thing is like, he was trained to be this way, but I think because of his training to be that way, he's basically now convinced that anything he does is correct, you know, like, he's above the law.
Yeah.
And, it's, because it's like the whole thing, I mean, my thing too with this is, it's like, okay, he killed a dude, but he didn't go to jail for it. He was just basically fired, you know, and that's what's been happening with cops and stuff, you know, like they'll kill somebody and they don't go to jail or anything. They're just fired.
Right.
Which, you know, doesn't like I said seem last right. Week,
yeah, it doesn't. Well, it's like what I said last week, last time we were talking about this, is that like when you have the right to kill, then that means you have more responsibilities than the people who don't have the right to kill. So it's not, so you don't just get extra rights and then you're above everyone else. Those rights come with extra responsibilities. That's what's supposed to even balance it out. Supposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Balance it out. A lot of times it doesn't. But like, and that would mean the whole point is that's what it's supposed to be like. It's like, all right, well, you got this little extra thing going on here, but we're not just going to let you, you know, run around. You know, you got this anchor now, you know. Well, anchor, that's a bad analogy, but whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so then anyways, after that scene, after he receives an other than honorable discharge and is stripped of his role as Captain America, he's out in the hallway on a bench with his wife, and he's approached by this woman played by our cameo in this episode, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, Emmy award-winning actress that we know from Veep and Seinfeld and Arrested Development and The New Adventures of the Old Christine and all these different shows, you know, that she was in. Yeah. Yeah, she's one of my favorite comedic actresses of all time. So, she reveals herself to be the Contessa Valentina Allegra di Fontaine. One of the longest names I've ever said in my life. Anyways, she basically is trying to say that she'll, like, you know, help him out if he needs it. And in the comics, she's a very important character who is known as Madame Hydra. And she is basically an espionage agent who was at one time in the books a lover of Nick Fury, and among other things. And she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who turned out to be a Hydra agent.
Mm.
So we'll see where this takes it, and I think she's going to be important here in the future. From what I've read, she's going to be in the Black Widow movie.
Oh, okay.
So, that'll... Yeah, because... And that was... And so, this cameo would have made more sense now if Black Widow would have came out when it did. When it was supposed to.
Right.
But it's not coming out, you know, until June or something. Yeah. June or July or whatever.
I think it's July.
Yeah. And, you know, but it was supposed to come out, you know, last year. So, yeah. So, yeah, we would have known who the character was if that movie would have came out when it was supposed to. But this is still kind of cool because you're introduced to her and you don't know who she is, and it kind of makes it more of a mystery, you know?
Yeah, it's more chronological now.
Yeah.
As opposed to retroactive, I guess.
Well, kind of chronological, because, I mean, Black Widow's supposed to be taking place in the past, so...
Oh, that's right, yeah, it's supposed to take place...
Yeah.
Where, like, after Civil War, is it, or...?
No, I think it's... I don't know when it is, but it's early on in her life, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I can't wait to see that movie, though. So,
I know, seriously. Hopefully we can see it in the theaters, hopefully.
Well, we'll be able to. I mean, I'm getting my second shot soon, so we'll be good, you know.
Yeah, so...
Within hours, cool. Actually, so, as we record this, so... So she leaves him a card, and it's like white on one side and black on the other and completely blank.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So anyway, so like, what's that supposed to mean, you know? I just thought, right. I like his response. He's like looking at it, he's like, it's blank.
She was such a quirky person too. Like,
yeah.
She did not sound like, you know, super serious, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like, which is perfect for Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know.
Yeah. So she's gonna basically turn him into like a Hydra agent, I guess, or something, or
possibly, yeah. We'll have to see where this goes next week. So, Sam ends up returning home. Do you want to take a break, actually? And then we'll talk more about this.
Yeah, sure. That's all
right. Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. So, Matthew, my good friend, what happens next in this very, very special episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Special episode. Sam goes, you know, he goes back home after, you know, all this stuff's going on. And, he's, you know, gonna fix up the boat or whatever. He's kind of resigned to the idea that they're gonna sell it, but then his nephews say that their mom said that they can't sell it because it's too broken down and no one wants to buy it. So he kind of, you know, it's like, why didn't you tell me that, whatever? And she's like, oh, well, you know, it's, you had that sad puppy dog in the rain look on your face when you came home last night, you know, stuff like that. and then, you know, he gets the idea. It's like, well, cause their parents used to help out everyone in like the neighborhood, like all over the place, and for, you know, like decades. And he's like, well, you know, maybe we should call in some of those favors, you know, after all these years. So then I got like basically the entire town to help out with like fixing the boats and donating like parts and, you know, things like that. And they had like this huge like crate of something, like a bunch of pallets with like that saran wrap stuff around it. And then like, how are we gonna get this out the truck? And then like Bucky just shows up and just lifts it all, you know, by himself.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And then like, I don't think they knew who he was. You know, like they knew he's Falcon. Well, some of them know he's Falcon, not all of them.
Yeah.
But some of them know. And And then Bucky, he like puts down this like cool crate, and he's like, you know, just need you to sign off on it, and then I'll leave. You know, which I'm not sure why. Did they get into a fight or something like that? I don't remember that, but he was at like he wasn't welcome there or something.
No,
like
he's
that.
Just kind of he's. It's their whole dynamic.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the okay, crate yeah, the crate he has is like, you know, he says it's from the Wakandans.
Yeah.
So. I'm pretty sure that's what the favor he was asking of Io in the scene where he gave Zemo to her.
Yeah, it has to be. And it's like this cool looking case, and of course, it's kind of like the whole Pulp Fiction thing, like they never show you what's in it, you know. And, you know, Sam lets them, oh, they got a cool cute meet between Bucky and Sarah, Sam's sister, and you know, Sam's looking kind of like grumbling, like, you know, like,
yeah, yeah, like, don't, like, you
that's
know,
my sister, yeah, you
don't
know,
don't flirt with my sister,
yeah, you
know, which he tells him later.
I know because he did it twice, and it's like, yeah, it's like, come on, and it's like you already went on a date with like the you know the cute Asian woman, you know, that your neighbor basically set up for you, you know, yeah. And then you skipped out of that date. It's like, apparently you're not good at dating, you know? So, like, and, so he helps out with, like, the boat, though. It's kind of, that's what I like about this episode, is that it wasn't all action. Like, they had, like, cool scenes of them just working on the boat together.
Yeah. And, nice little montages like, of, you yeah. know, you know, the whole, we can get this done, you know, we can do it.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. We could do this, you know. They play like this cool like music in the background,
mm-hmm.
and at one point they're like working on something that they're not supposed to be working on. And Sarah catches them. And he's like, "That's not what I told you to do," or something like
yeah.
that. And she's like, "Off, bye." And then like, yeah. "I appreciate you."
Yeah, so they you know, and it's pretty cool to see, you know, the whole, like, George Bailey sort of scene where the whole town comes to help the family that helped us, you know, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for freaking decades, yeah, you better start helping out.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Sam visits Isaiah Bradley again, by himself this time. And that's a really cool scene. You want to talk about
Oh, yeah, that was before this, I think, yeah.
Oh, what? That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he goes to Baltimore, and he visits Isaiah Bradley. And Bradley basically, you know, first he sees Bradley's grandson, which we need to talk about a little bit. His grandson in the comic books becomes a superhero as well, who's a young Avenger.
Yeah.
Forgot what his name was.
Patriot,
yeah, there we go. I knew it was one of those, American words. Anyways, he's like, "Where's your grandfather?" You know, to him, and then he's in the back, you know, working in the garden or whatever. So he goes back there, and he's basically wanting to show him the shield and basically give it to him because he wants him to be Captain America. And Bradley basically tells him that he doesn't believe that a black man can ever be Captain America. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we need your blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, true American sort of hero, you know. And it tells him about how he was experimented on for years. You know, and declared dead. And his girlfriend or wife thought he was dead for years, you know, and never, you know, knew. And he never got these letters from her that she was trying to send to him when he was in jail.
Yeah.
And they were experimenting on him. He lifts up his shirt and he shows all these scars of everything that they did. They were trying to figure out why the serum worked on him and not other people and all this other stuff. And, so, you know, it was such an emotional scene. Carl Lumbly, just brilliant actor. Man, he's so good. I was crying watching that scene. You know, he was just like so sad. Yeah. But I mean, he's got his old school ways of believing that, you know, a black man can't be Captain America. But right. Sam, in his mind, you know, is basically thinking, you know, things are changing, you know, things are getting better. They might not be fully, but, you know, they are, you know, in certain ways. And he thinks he can be, you know. But, of course, it, you know, you're going woke, and so you're going to go broke, man.
Yeah, man. Well, it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, like he said, you know, he was like Sam when he was Sam's age.
Yeah, he was, like, idealistic and, you know, had, you know, hope and, you know, with positive ideas and stuff, you know, in his mind and, like, you know, and thought the best of things, you know, was very optimistic. That was the word I was looking for. basically, though, he leaves, you know, Bradley, and Bradley doesn't want to be Captain America, doesn't want to be declared alive again. He just basically wants to live the rest of his life dead, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so, anyways, and then we go to the stuff that we talked about before with our fixing up the boat montages. And, so, later on, Sam basically comes to the conclusion that he does deserve to be Captain America. And so Bucky and him train with the shield and agree to move on from their pasts and work together, basically. You know, they come to the conclusion that they, you know, basically they kind of realize they're friends. You know? And that they're kind of like brothers in a way, you know, because they share this bond of being, you know, both being Steve's best friend, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, we see a scene, at one point too, where Carly and, some of the Flag Smashers come back to their little, headquarters and realize that the GRC has evacuated everybody from there, and they are trying to relocate everybody.
Yeah.
And there's a vote that's going to be happening at the GRC conference called the Patch Act, which is a act that decides that they're going to send these people back to where they came from. And not the places that they were relocated to during the blip. You know, so.
Sounds a lot like deportation, but with a fancier word.
Sounds a lot like the thing that Trump was doing with the whole, with the whole Dreamers and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost like they don't want to leave. They like where they're living now, and then they're not going to have a choice to leave.
And it's like kind of like, hey, we didn't have a choice to be where we are,
right?
But we've gotten used to it. But now we're going to go back to somewhere that we don't even like, or maybe have never been before.
Right, and we got jobs here, we got homes here.
Yeah.
But, you know, so anyway, yeah, they're going to vote on whether or not to do this to 20 million people.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. 20 million? Sometimes, some countries, that's the entire population of an entire country.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, like, you know, like, let's say you have a country like England or, I'm not sure, whatever country. Imagine all those people in that country leaving it for another place or scattered throughout the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So that's why the Flag Smashers exist, is because they don't want to leave. They like it where they're at, or at the very least, they, you know, they're familiar with, you know, where they live now, and, you know, anyway, so yeah, that's the reason why the Flag Smashers exist in the first place, because of this bullshit, the GRC, you know, repatriation, and, you know, this whole propaganda, they show all these smiling people on these posters, and, we're getting people back to normal. Like, anytime anyone says back to normal, you should immediately be suspicious right there. Because that phrase almost always means something bad.
It doesn't necessarily mean back to the normal you want. It's back to the normal they want. You know, it's not, you know. It's never in the well-being of the people. It's in the well-being of the people with money.
Right.
Yeah. Or power. Or both. Yeah, the, so, we have the scene in, like, Central Park. First, before that, we have a scene with Sharon Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Where she, is on the phone with Batroc, who we saw in the first episode, who was the guy that was trying to, the French guy, French speaking guy who was trying to, take the American soldier that Sam stopped him from taking in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
She hires him, pays him double from last time, so that kind of implies she was the one that hired him to take the soldier.
Hmm.
Which, still, you know, I don't know what Carter's endgame is here. So she hired him, and then he appears in Central Park in New York with Carly and some of the other Flag Smashers. And he has, like, a little briefcase full of weapons and stuff. And they have a plan. They're going to basically attack the GRC conference.
Mm-hmm.
Which ends up happening. There's some people inside there that are saying one world, one people to each other, and they're part of the situation.
Very similar to Hail Hydra, kind of. You know?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's like that. That's like what I believe. I believe we are one world, one people. So it's like,
right? It's so hard. It's so conflicting. And here's the thing. So like, I wasn't like all cards on the table. I was not really. mad at them at the beginning, like, even when they were, like, robbing banks and shit like that, because, like, if you study history revolutions, almost all revolutions begin where they rob banks to pay for their operations.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure even the American Revolution did that at some point during the early days.
You know, it's the whole Robin Hood aspect of things, you know?
Yeah. So, like, the Soviet Union did the same thing, the Bolsheviks. Stalin would literally rob banks. He was really good at it, too. He robbed banks, take the money, and give it to them to buy weapons so they could fight the SARS army. So this shit happens all the time. So like, I was not like, okay, they robbed the bank, whatever, fine.
Yeah,
well, look at there's insurance for that shit. Look, the people get their money back, whatever. But then when she bombed that building, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, that's, you know, that's gone too far.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with Walker, like, where you're at the point where you think your goal, you're trying to, you have a goal, but you end up killing people, and then you kind of cross the line on your goal. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, your goal isn't you know, it's like you've got the by any means necessary sort of thing that you're going through, which is not necessarily always a good way to go about it. You know.
Yeah, you gotta say, you know, how about this? You gotta say by many means necessary.
Yeah.
But you still have to have a line.
Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't be killing people. That's probably pretty much the line.
Yeah.
Unless it's in self-defense. You know, that's a different story. But, But anyways, they end up attacking it. There's this whole, scene, the room at the GRC conference. It kind of reminds me of, like, the war room in Doctor Strangelove. You know, it kind of is very similar set. It's very, very interesting. You know, it's like that, or like the movie Failsafe or something, you know, one of those war room type of movies. Yeah. And you've got them all arguing whether they should, you know, sign this patch act or not, and then the scene happens where basically all the electricity in the place goes kind of wanky, or wonky or whatever you want to call it, and that happens, and then we have a scene towards the end where Sam opens up the case. And we don't see, you know, you get the whole Pulp Fiction sort of thing where you don't see what's in it. And then we have the credits, and then we have a mid-credits scene for the first time, which we see Walker building a new shield from scrap metal and his war medals. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's not vibranium, so it's not...
it's not going to be as strong, but...
And, and what's the other thing, too, is that it's not, I know it's built out of vibranium, but the whole thing where the shield, like, almost acts as a boomerang, like, that also means it's made kind of special. I mean, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and
you wouldn't be able to get that from any kind of regular shield, like.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's more building it for the symbol, and I mean, he has super strength, so it's not like he necessarily needs a super strength shield as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyways, that's what happens there.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything, or I think we got it all?
I think we got, I think it was most of it. Because we got Zemo got taken away by the, I forgot their name, the,
Dora Milaje. Yeah,
Dora Milaje. And they're going to go to the raft, which I read that's kind of like almost like an Argus type facility, like in DC, where it's like surrounded by water, I think. Something like that. Cool. I think.
That would make sense if it's called the raft, that it would be surrounded by water.
Right, the raft.
Yeah.
So he's probably not going to be able to get out of there, you know, easily.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think about it.
Yeah, I think we got everything.
We did.
So, you want to take a break here, Matt, and then we can come back and we'll talk about some speculation and some trivia here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It's the ninja from the Ask the Angry Ninja Show saying, "Come listen to the show." We got the ninja wife to give you movie reviews. We got the conscript to give you the ninja news, and we got the battle to talk about your sports. And as always, it is the Ask the Angry Ninja Show. So ask me a question, and we'll give you the ninja knowledge you need for your ninja life. Search for us anywhere you get your podcast from. Just search for the Ask the Angry Ninja Show and enjoy the show.
Aren't we all back?
Back.
We all back. Yes, we are.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. How are you, Matthew?
I'm okay. That's the way it is. Is that what Walter Cronkite used
that's
to say?
That's the way it is. Yes.
That's the way it is, yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, back to my normal voice. Here's some trivia from the internet movie Database. The database. The ace of base. Anyways, the
the ace. Good band.
Yes. I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Okay. All right. The Contessa Valentina Allegra di Fontaine, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, in the comics was a high-level S.H.I.E.L.D. operative and sometimes lover of Nick Fury. She was also a high-level Hydra agent known as Madame Hydra. The black and white calling card may be an homage to her appearance in the comics, in which she had black hair with a white streak. This is the first episode of the series to have a mid-credits scene. Julia Louis-Dreyfus's cameos in this episode as Valentina Allegra di Fontaine, an espionage agent who first appeared in Strange Tales number 159, In talking about the cameo leading up to this episode, a producer said he wants Fontaine to team up with Thor in the future of the MCU. In an article published in Vanity Fair during the episode, it was revealed Louis Dreyfus was supposed to make her first appearance as DeFontaine in Black Widow, as we spoke before. It's interesting, too, I was reading somewhere that there was an interview and a few years ago with some of the writers from Veep, and they all said that they thought that that Julia Louis-Dreyfus would be an excellent villain in the MCU. And then it came true. So that's interesting. So
it's interesting.
Yeah. So which I mean and they did talk about how this was like a grounded character, and it was kind of a shocking cameo of somebody that's, you know, an A-list actor, you know, that we know in Hollywood and stuff like that. And I mean it is true. I mean, and it's somebody that you wouldn't expect in the MCU. Because when you kind of think about think about it, you don't really think Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a MCU character. You know, it's not, you know, when you watch Seinfeld, you don't think, hey, Elaine would be a great MCU actress.
Yeah, like one of the most powerful Hydra agents
of
all time. Yeah. You know, and plus, too, anything would have been better than the whole Paul Bettany trickery, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I would have been satisfied with her on that show as opposed to...
Yeah.
Do you have any speculation as to how this is going to end next week?
You know, I wish that, is there going to be a season two, or is this going to be like a WandaVision thing where it's just one season?
I think as it stands now, it's just a one season, but it could, you know, you never know.
Okay.
Or these characters could end up in other shows, you know.
Right. Because I guess my only issue, I think, is, you know, like, if they're going to try to wrap up this whole John Walker thing, and it seems like it's just gotten started, you know what I mean? Just with one episode, it seems kind of like maybe not a great pacing issue when it comes to that storyline, but like...
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with him, but I think...
I mean, he could appear in future properties, you know, like, you know...
Right.
Future movies or TV series, you know.
Yeah, I think, like, there's definitely going to be a fight between, like, he's going to end up becoming, like, U.S. agent or whatever, or an agent of Hydra, who knows, where he's going to, you know, he still thinks, you know, jilted, he thinks he's still a Captain America, and, you know.
Sam, well, that's one thing we forgot to talk about in the episode, is he did visit Lamar's parents.
Oh, yeah,
straight up lied to them and said that he killed the person that killed... killed their son.
The dad even asked him, was like, was that guy, you know, the one who killed, you know, Lamar? And he's like, yeah. Yes. I'm like, okay, wow.
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seemed like, also, too, it seemed like their daughter, Lamar's sister, seemed like she didn't really believe him.
Yeah,
like,
the way she was looking at him was kind of...
She may have seen the video and they didn't, because they're, like, older and stuff. Maybe they don't have... You know,
well, seeing the video didn't mean anything because nobody saw who actually killed Lamar. There was no video.
He did say where is she though? So I don't know if they were recording at that point or not though. So
that's true.
They could have picked up right when he started beating them though. So you know,
but even him asking where is she doesn't necessarily mean that he was asking for the person that killed Lamar. He might just be asking where Carly is, you know.
Yeah, the leader, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he lied and just said, oh yeah, sure, he's the one or whatever, and sorry, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're like, well, Lamar, we're so proud of you, and, you know, that, you know, and all this kind of shit, and, you know, just makes him, like, feel like, you know, 2 feet tall or 2 inches tall or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he used to talk to us all the time about how, you know, he was so proud to, you know, work with you and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And,
just piloting.
Which really sucks. Yeah. I really wanted Battlestar to be, you know, more in the show. Like, you know.
Yeah. But, and I mean, I like that actor. too. I mean, yeah, he was good. But I guess he needed to die. You know, you needed something to happen. I was kind of hoping still that he wasn't dead and that that we'd have to deal with the aftermath of the fact that he killed somebody and Lamar wasn't dead.
Exactly.
Like, but, yeah.
Oh, you did this, you know, in my name, you know.
Yeah.
And now I can't even, like, look at you the same now or whatever type thing. Yeah, because he probably would have been like that because he was always the one trying to calm him down. And
yeah.
Almost like a spouse in a way. Well, his wife's kind of the same way where she's like, all right, you need to, like,
focus. Yeah, and, like, but, I mean, the main thing is, too, now that he doesn't have Battlestar at his side, he's basically lost his Jiminy Cricket. And right. He has no conscience at all. You know, he's not, you know, it's like, so who knows what's going to happen next week where he's going to be, you know, a terror without any kind of reasoning, you know?
Yeah, like, no, like, just totally untethered to any kind of sense of morality. So anyway, yeah, I think there's definitely going to be a huge battle. He might even, who knows, even have some allies on his side that we don't even see yet, you know, at this point. And, you know, he might even actually kill Carly if they don't get to her first, you know.
And it's almost like, who knows, I mean, he might even have to, who knows, maybe Sam and Bucky will have to team up with him.
Right.
To take on Carly. You know, it's hard to say, and I mean, I really hope this isn't the end for him or the end for Carly, because I like these characters. But a lot of these shows are supposed to be self-contained and not really affect the movies. So, okay. Is what they've said, is what Kevin Feige has said, so we'll see what happens, and I mean, maybe they'll, I really just hope they don't kill them both off.
Yeah.
Or either one of them, for that matter. So you can, you know, bring them back in the future if need be, you know.
So is there supposed to be a movie that's, like, for example, like, WandaVision was supposed to be, like, before Doctor Strange 2? Is there, like, a movie that's similar to the show, or?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be things in the future, like another Avengers movie or some, or they might, maybe they'll have a new Captain America movie.
Okay.
You know, with Sam as Captain America. That'll feature Bucky as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing we forgot to talk about, too, is that when Sam started training with the Shield after him and Bucky were talking about how, like, you know, that Steve probably didn't think about the implications, yeah, about, like, what it would be like for, you know, a black man. I think Steve would, though, because he seemed pretty conscientious about that kind of thing. But, like,
yeah.
But anyway, like, that's what Bucky said. That,
yeah, and I mean, he does have a point, though. I mean, Steve might not have thought about this as well, you know, too fully, you know, because, you know, he wasn't a black man, so he doesn't really know what the situation's like, you know.
Right, and came from a different time as well, so maybe he has a more, like, simplistic view of, like, morality and stuff like that, or, you know, like.
Or also seeing all the progress in the world, but not realizing that even though there is a lot of progress when it comes to racism, we still do have a lot to do to solve,
right,
you know, issues when it comes to, you know, bigotry in general, you know.
Right, I mean, exactly, like, Steve probably, you know, like, fell asleep, or not fell asleep, but got trapped in the ice, and, you know, back then people were just openly saying, you know, the N-word, and, you know, frowning upon, like, people having, like, interracial relationships, and he wakes up like, oh, all this stuff's better now because, you know, I don't hear that word as much, and,
yeah,
you know, so, yeah, I can totally see that kind of, like, somewhat of a rose-colored, you know, glasses type of, like, progress, you know, type of thing,
yeah,
like, or whatever. So then Sam starts, you know, he's training with the Shield, like, and it scared me that one time it looked like it was about to take its head off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, just think about how scary that is to him, you know? It's like...
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a good thing that he's getting a handle on it, you know, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, anything else before we wrap things up here, Matt?
No, not really.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to any of our other episodes about, you know, we cover a lot of cool things in this show, not just Falcon and Winter Soldier. We have Our latest episode is an interview with Will McLaughlin, the actor from Superstore, Parks and Recreation, Wrecked, and a bunch of other movies and TV shows. It was an amazing interview. He was a great guy. I really liked talking to him. So make sure you check that episode out. We got some other, recent episodes, interview with Scott Barber, the co-director of The Orange Years, the Nickelodeon documentary. And we have a recent episode where we talked about that 80s show, so things like that. We got some fun ones, we got some interviews, different things like that. Please subscribe to the show, share it with your friends, so they can check it out too. Hoping to grow the audience here. And if you want to help us out, feel free to give us a 5-star review on the Apple podcast, whatever they're calling it this week. And I mean, honestly, they changed the name of the thing a few times since we've been broadcasting. So it's like, just give us that or wherever else you can, and share the show. Like I said, that's a good way to do it. Check out our Patreon. You can, help support the show monetarily. You can get some cool, merch on our TeePublic store as well. Get an All Too Real 2 t-shirt,
Woo!
You'd enjoy that, people. You can wear it around and be like, I listen to this cool podcast and you don't. Maybe you should start listening to it because Matt and Mike are awesome and, stuff like that. Just say that to everybody you meet.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. I don't care what your situation is, You could be in a therapy session. Tell it to your therapist. Yeah. You could,
Yeah.
Could be confessing to a priest. Tell him about it,
Your sin is that you listen to too much All Too Real.
Well, it's not a sin. It's not. It's never a sin to listen to too much of All Too Real too.
It's just too much of a temptation, Father. You got to check it out.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible.
Just be like, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And then you're gonna be like, yeah. Well, so I yelled at my mom the other day, and I thought, impure thoughts about my neighbor. Before I go, Father, I think you should listen to All Too Real 2 podcast. It's a great show. And, you'll enjoy it. Especially their dive into, direct-to-video sequels such as, Tooth Fairy 2. I think you'll really enjoy that, Father.
Yeah.
That sounds legit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, we should probably go. Make sure you're doing all the good things that you can do, folks. Wear a mask, wear a condom. Get a vaccine, For anything. I don't care what the vaccine's for. Vaccines are good, people. Don't listen to those anti-vaxxers.
Just get any kind of vaccine, doesn't matter what it is.
Even if you don't need it, just go in and be like,
tetanus or...
I need a typhoid vaccine right now. I need the vaccine for tuberculosis. I need a polio vaccine right now, doctor. No.
Like that episode of Superstore where Glenn's talking about traveling where we're going to need so many shots. All excited about it.
Oh, good times. Anyways, until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.